Well, my capacity as a teacher and writer and culture commentator, I've read a lot of things in the area of ethics, and I've read things that have struck me as really strange, bizarre, over the top. So I've become rather inured to it, I must say. However, a couple weeks ago, I read an article in the New York Times Sunday magazine that was so outrageous, and it was so egregious that I just several times put the magazine down and just shook my head in disbelief. It was called The 2-1 Pregnancy. It has to do with, and I'm using the coldly sort of Orwellian language of the article, of reducing to a singlet, which means a woman who is carrying triplets or twins, reducing those children to one, which is a antiseptic way of saying eliminating the unborn children. The first story that's told in the article deals with a woman named Jenny. I presume they've changed her name, but Jenny had taken fertility drugs for a long time and found herself, to her great chagrin, pregnant with twins. She said, well, given my age and given my precarious financial situation, I just couldn't do that. And so she finds herself, the article says, one day on the obstetrician's table as the doctor approaches with a long needle, and she has to turn her head away because she can't face the fact that he's going to more or less arbitrarily kill one of her children. What I found really breathtaking was her attempt to justify this. I'm going to quote directly from the article. She said, if I conceived these twins naturally, I wouldn't have rejected this pregnancy because you feel like there's a natural order. But we created this child in such an artificial manner, and somehow making a decision about how many to carry seemed to be just another choice. Well, of course, tell that to the child. You know, it's just a little convenient choice that you had to make. Second lady talked about in the article was carrying twins and decided there was a boy and a girl and decided to eliminate the boy because she said, I've already got a son. Again, staggering. But it reminded me very much of the situation in a country like China where an awful lot of girls are being aborted. And now there's a great disparity in gender between men and women as a result of that. There was a third woman described in the article. They gave her the name Shelby, a woman who had been artificially inseminated with her husband's sperm as he went off to fight in the Iraq War. And she found herself, again, to her great chagrin and surprise, pregnant with triplets. And again, here's a line from the article. She complained to her doctor, this is just not an option for us. I only want one. So her doctor referred her to a physician who was willing to reduce to a singlet, again, to use that awful language. And here's what Shelby said. She gave the instruction to the doctor not to choose on any basis except that the one who'd be left would be healthy, because then she said she didn't want to make the decision based on gender because she wanted things to be as ethically okay for me as they could be. Big of her, of course. And then this is the thing that really, I remember putting the magazine down when I read this, is the daughter to whom she gave birth, so the child who remained, is now 2.5. And Shelby said that she would someday in the near future happily sit down and explain to her daughter what she had done as an example of women's choice. So listen, she wanted to teach her little girl, quote, that women have choices, even if they're sometimes difficult. I don't know about you, but I'd like to be a fly in the wall for that little conversation between mother and daughter. Honey, I had two of your siblings eliminated so that I could raise you a little more conveniently. I can't help but think that would lead to some rather remarkable mother-daughter bonding. The article at the end refers to therapists who have tried to help women through this situation. Again, I'm quoting from the article. There's a Dr. Stone, who's a Mount Sinai physician, and she, or a therapist rather, and she wants to help people who've gone through these reductions to, quote, be at peace with whatever they decide. So again, there's nothing about the objectivity of what they've decided. It's simply to deal with the feelings that have come as a result of these decisions. And then a doctor, Donna Steinberg, a Manhattan-based psychologist who specializes in the treatment of infertility patients, blithely explains to them, she says, that the guilt comes from, quote, outsiders who don't appreciate the complexity of the struggle and wonder, how is that possible? Well, Yes, Dr. Steinberg, there are many of us outsiders who do indeed wonder how that's possible, that putting to death a perfectly healthy unborn child is possible. There are a lot of us who wonder about that. Now, here's what strikes me as I read this appalling article, is it represents, I think, the triumph of choice. And to make it more specific, the triumph of the attitude that is embedded in that infamous 1992 decision of the U.S. Supreme Court, Casey versus Planned Parenthood, which was an abortion-related case. But in deciding it, the justices expressed a view that is also appalling and breathtaking. And again, I'm going to read from it. This is our U.S. Supreme Court, 1992. At the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life. Now, I mean, I laugh at it because it's so outrageous a claim. At the heart of liberty, so all Americans like liberty, we're the land of the free, right? But at the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and the mystery of human life. Oh, that's all I get to decide. I get to decide everything. In other words, the subjective absolutely trumps the objective. There's no consideration given to what's objectively the case. What's objectively the case in regard to life or the universe or the meaning of one's own existence? Now, those words might have seemed, as I'm suggesting by my laughter, almost comically abstract in 1992, but the article that I read on reducing to a singlet makes them chillingly concrete, it seems to me. Because in every case, what the mothers were saying was, my choice trumps everything. My choice simply is the court of final appeal. If I've chosen it, it's okay. And thank God there are therapists around to deal with any of these pesky feelings of guilt that might come from the choices I've made. That's the complete occluding of the objective by the subjective. See, I would suggest to some of the women interviewed in that article that the feelings of guilt are not pesky and inappropriate psychological hang-ups. They're the result of a robustly functioning conscience that is in touch with objective values like the value of an innocent human life. Values that ought to shape our choice and not be trumped by it.